Welcome back, everyone, to the Weekly Driver Podcast. My name is James Rea. I write an automotive column for Bay Area News Group, which is the San Jose Mercury and the East Bay Times in Walnut Creek, California. I also started the website The Weekly Driver in 2004, and I am currently the senior editor of that publication. And I also write about automotive features and technology for Gulf Shore Business Magazine in Fort Myers, Florida. Today, my guest is Danny Shapiro. Danny is the vice president of automotive for NVIDIA. And I don't think that there is a company in the world that's being talked about more right now than NVIDIA. And we have Danny on our podcast today to discuss all things in the world of the conference. It's coming back to being an in-person conference in San Jose after a five-year hiatus. So, Danny, you've been world traveling, so thank you very much for being available.
It's great to be here. It's a super exciting time for artificial intelligence, and what my team is specifically working on in the automotive space is the development of bringing AI into transportation and creating cars that are safer, more efficient, and ultimately self-driving. So we're going to see a lot of really interesting talks. There's over 600 talks at the conference, ranging everything from how AI is being used in healthcare to energy exploration to finance to the automobile industry and more, scientific research, drug discovery. It's really quite amazing.
Yes, it is. If I could just cover the basics for a layperson, I know this is like the back of your hand for you, but could you give the listeners a good overview of the company, its unusual name, and when it started, and where it is today? That's a lot to answer, I realize, but a good overview, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. So NVIDIA was started over 30 years ago, and the company started out as an accelerated computing company, but you know, that can mean a lot of different things.
Sure.
I think the one of the things we're best known for is the invention of the GPU, which is the graphics processing unit. And if you've been around a computer a little bit, you know there's something called the CPU, which is the central processing unit. And the way to think about this, though, is that these are chips that basically are doing math, they're doing computing. But a CPU, as a serial processor, can do one thing at a time. And think of it as a single lane on the road. And so we'll take data and process it, you know, in a sequence, in a series. The GPU then was invented to do parallel processing, and think of it as a highway, whereas you might have heard of cores. A CPU maybe has two cores, that would be two lanes. Well, the GPU can have thousands of cores. You'd have a highway with 1,000 lanes. Imagine how much traffic you could put through that.
Yes.
And so this GPU has now opened a whole new era of computing that will enable people to do things they never could have done before. So the first thing that NVIDIA started doing was video games. Graphics, 3D graphics in particular, requires a lot of computation. So the GPU was invented to parallel process data for 3D graphics and primarily video games. We expanded into what we call professional graphics, which is using the same kind of technology in a video game, but using it for people who are doing work in architecture, 3D modeling, designing cars, building skyscrapers, or doing medical imaging. And so the company evolved over time into all types of graphics. Nowadays, all the special effects for all the movies and TV are done by companies like ILM and DreamWorks and Pixar and Disney using NVIDIA technology. So graphics is something that has just continued to grow throughout the decades that the company's been around. But over time, there have been a lot of new applications for the technology that have really helped us grow. And most recently is artificial intelligence, being able to train systems to recognize objects, which is something we use in healthcare for doing kind of screening for cancer cell detection, or in a vehicle for pedestrian detection. A camera is watching in front of the vehicle and able to recognize other cars and trucks and bicycles and people and be able to then safely avoid them.
Thank you.
We're also seeing a resurgence of other types of artificial intelligence going on across industry. And then really the biggest change a little over a year ago was the release of ChatGPT and how artificial intelligence is not only able to recognize things, but also generate new content. And so a system could be trained on the English language, and now we can have chatbots that can respond and understand what people are saying and offer responses. And so this has really fueled so much development in artificial intelligence from companies like Google and Amazon, Oracle, Microsoft, but they're turning to NVIDIA to build out those data centers to enable them to run these kinds of artificial intelligence services.
I know it's
the conference is basically a culmination of all of these different technologies on display.
I know, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I know that in recent times, in the last couple of weeks, anybody who was, you know, read the Wall Street Journal or listens to the news or any kind of news heard about the increase in the stocks. And what you just said, is that a good condensed way of giving a good reason why that occurred? It was a perfect storm, if you will.
Well, NVIDIA is a platform company. We develop technology for others to build on. And if you look back to the early days of the company when we were developing the graphics technology for the gaming industry, NVIDIA did not write the games. We built the hardware. We had a lot of the base software, the algorithms, and the game companies wrote their applications on top of NVIDIA. So if anyone wanted to play video games, they would use our hardware and software in their PCs or then game consoles. And so now we've basically applied that same type of model to artificial intelligence. And so any companies that are doing work in AI will have NVIDIA in their data center, in their workstations, or in their vehicles. We're working with hundreds of car companies and truck companies, robo-taxi companies that have our NVIDIA Drive platform in the vehicle, and they're also using NVIDIA in their data centers. First, they have to train the artificial intelligence in the data center, and then it runs as inference in the vehicle or at the edge in a robot, in a warehouse, in a hospital. So we've developed technology that can scale and also apply to basically every vertical industry.
Gotcha. I attended the conference in San Jose 5 years ago, and true confessions, I didn't really know much about what I was looking at. I was trying to absorb as much as I could. And now 5 years later, has the industry, I'm assuming the answer would be yes. What will I see or others, consumers see or other media people see that's just so vastly different than it was 5 years ago as part A and part B? I know COVID was involved in some of the non-live conferences, and you did have them virtually. Why 5 years, and why is now the right time to continue with the in-person conference?
Well, we've been running GTC for about 15 years now, and it's
yes.
always growing. And it would be a live event, started in San Jose at the Convention Center, and that's been kind of the home base annually. But in the 16, 17, 18, this century, we started traveling. And so we were running GTC in Amsterdam, in Munich, in Tokyo, in Beijing, in Tel Aviv. So we had a road show, and we were selling out in all these different locations as we were bringing all these new technology breakthroughs to different markets. And it's a very unique conference in that it's not focused on a specific industry, but you get cross-pollination of doctors, researchers, engineers, scientists from all different industries learning from each other. So that's
yes.
one of the things that's quite unique. But of course, during COVID, right, everything shut down and we started doing virtual events like everybody did. And we went from having several thousand attendees to hundreds of thousands of attendees that were able to tune in from wherever they were and watch the sessions. And so the content just exploded, and the uptake was terrific. And we've always wanted to do the live event. So this is going to be a hybrid event. Of course, we expect about 20,000 people live at the convention center and hundreds of thousands to be able to tune in virtually from wherever they are. The event has hundreds and hundreds of sessions, as I mentioned. These are presentations, a combination of panels, fireside chats and advisory councils where it's more open discussion. So people who are focused on a particular industry can meet, network, and learn from other people who are trying to solve some of the similar challenges that they are.
The conference will be held. There are some preambles, some media events. And for the non-media, is it March 18th through the 20th?
It's actually 4 days. It starts on March 18th.
Yes.
That's Monday. There will be a keynote, and we're hosting that now at the SAP Center. So this is San Jose's big arena where sporting teams play, where concerts are held. And so the capacity of that is quite large. So Jensen Huang, our founder and CEO, will be doing an amazing job at the keynote, and we'll be announcing a whole variety of new products, new services, new tools for developers, and just incredible breakthroughs from ourselves and hundreds of other companies that will be in attendance and exhibiting. And then the conference runs the rest of the week with a whole variety of different sessions and an expo with hundreds of exhibitors where people can learn about all these different technologies and how everything from gaming to chatbots to self-driving cars will be on display.
I have received some invitations and announcements from Volvo comes to mind. And I remember the last time I was there, some of it's not fresh in my memory, but I remember asking and trying to understand more and more and more of it. And in the past 5 years, since we're in the automotive space, what do you think will happen if you can, you know, look in the crystal ball, if you will? Are things going to change drastically for autonomous driving? Some of the companies that are now offering, you know, car services. I was in Las Vegas recently, and there were some of those cars there that did not have a driver. What do you think might happen in the next year or 5 years or 10 years? Are we going to be like the Jetsons, if you don't mind the comparison? What's on the horizon for us?
Well, I don't think we're going to have too many flying cars, but you're absolutely right. The autonomous space is progressing very nicely. It's taken longer than we initially thought. I think the whole industry underestimated the complexity of being able to safely navigate vehicles that are several tons. And you have the erratic behavior of humans that are still on the road driving or jaywalking. And so, we're not there yet, but it's progressing quite nicely. We're working with a lot of companies that are bringing out the technology right now in the form of driver assistance systems. So the owner of the vehicle is still behind the wheel, responsible, but artificial intelligence is making the road a lot safer, being able to alert them or take over certain driving functions on highways, doing lane keeping, doing emergency braking, adaptive cruise control. So these are all very sophisticated software systems that are continuing to get better and better. And now the notion of a software-defined car or a vehicle that can get software updates just like your phone is enabling these vehicles to get smarter and smarter over time and improve without having to go out and buy a new car. You download a new update and there are new features, new capabilities. And that's really where we're at today. But a huge amount of work going into ensuring that these cars are safer than they've ever been before, and ultimately will become autonomous.
Recently, I drove a very high-end, as a car reviewer, drove a very high-end BMW, and I think it had something like 70 technology features. And I was learning some of them I'm familiar with. And I'm wondering if your thoughts on, let's just say, somebody who always wanted a Ford F-150 pickup truck. That's all they want, and they don't want a lot of technology. Is there any degree of backlash to maybe too much, or is it, hey, gee, folks, it's about time you learn, or maybe somewhere in the middle, because it's going to happen one way or the other, I believe.
Right. Well, I think there's two different aspects of what you're asking. One is the core technology, and that's what we're focused on, is you can make cars a lot safer. Just like you have technologies with, seat belts and airbags. Those were first things that were options on cars, and they proved to be life-saving, they've become standard.
Yes.
And we're going to see electronics, hardware and software that's going to make vehicles a lot safer as well and prevent people from doing bad things on the road. And so I think ultimately those things will become standard and potentially mandated. I think what you might be referring to, though, is maybe the user interface.
Yes.
That is the way that people will control the technology through touch screens or through buttons or through voice. And I think there's, you know, we've seen over time that there are certain technology companies that are very good at the user interface. And it's been a transition in some cases for car companies who might not have had that expertise in-house. And so the interface that they present to the driver, to the passengers, has been frustrated. And so I think we're going through this evolution of car companies becoming more of a technology company and getting better at delivering the kinds of intuitive interfaces that people expect when they're on their phone or a tablet. We're definitely seeing improvement from the car companies, but it's taken some time.
I like that word evolution. I think that answers a lot of my, I don't want to say skepticism, but I'm senior driver now and being a driver for whatever it's been, 50 years. Some of it I get and some of it I have to learn about. And I think, you know, that's a pretty large group of people who are going to, facing this is if I drive for, I don't know, 15 more years, 20 more years, whatever it may be, I embrace it. But then I also feel some of it's like, oh, gee, this whistle went off or that bell rang and I'm not within 100 yards of anything. So to me, it has been somewhat of a learning curve and I'm getting the hang of it. And I'm sure there's other people in the same boat. So I like that word of evolution. So thanks for explaining it in that regard. I think some of it was premature. And as you pointed out, it just keeps getting better and better.
That's right. I think now we're going to see those interfaces move to speech. And so in the early days, you'd push a button and you had to say a specific word or there was a very small vocabulary of what the car could understand. And with artificial intelligence, we're seeing interfaces where people can have a natural conversation and ask questions of the vehicle, and the vehicle respond just like Siri or Alexa.
Is it safe to say, Danny, that all of the major manufacturers are embracing this? I know the Swedish manufacturers, maybe the Chinese manufacturers. Does it also include American-made vehicles? Everybody is embracing it in the same level, or are some embracing it more enthusiastically than others?
I think like any technology, you have early adopters, you have innovators who are investing in these new architectures, and there are others that are followers. So it's really all of the above. But we do see a universal understanding that this is the way forward, creating a technology-first vehicle platform that can get software updates over the air and continue to make a vehicle on the road that's been there for 5 or more years and feel like a brand new car through that software update.
Yes.
And you know, I think people are familiar with a new app coming into their phone. And it's like, wow, it has a new capability. Well, imagine that on your car now. You could have all these different apps or new ways of doing things for the car getting smarter and new features being added several years after you bought it. So it really is a great model that the auto industry is adopting.
Whether it is the automotive space or another part of the upcoming conference, by the way, I'm speaking with Danny Shapiro, the Vice President of Automotive for NVIDIA, and the next conference is coming up just a couple of weeks in San Jose, California at the Convention Center and other facilities. Whether it's the automotive space, Danny, or some other area, could you give me a glimpse of something that might be really surprising that might debut without breaking too many confidences, or something that's just going to blow everybody away that I just don't know about right now or others don't know about?
Well, if I tell you, it won't be a surprise.
That's the truth. So, that's the truth.
No, but I think what we've always done at GTC is release new products, new core technologies, new partners, and there's going to be a lot of that. It's really exciting. The pace of innovation is accelerating. the types of services, the types of products that are using artificial intelligence, and the breakthroughs are quite phenomenal. So I would say sign up at the conference at NVIDIA.com. You can attend the hundreds of sessions, the keynote. But even if you can't make it live, you'll be able to live stream the keynote from the SAP Center to your mobile device or your PC.
Sure.
So NVIDIA.com is the place to go to get all the information and register if you're going to be in San Jose.
Going back to the automotive space specifically, I'm sure that's listed somewhere, but what? Give me a handful of the manufacturers who will be there. I get the information from Volvo and maybe one other company, but what other car companies will be attending?
Yeah, we'll have all major automakers will be in attendance, right?
We
have hundreds of manufacturers have labs in Silicon Valley. So the German automakers, the
sure.
Japanese automakers, Chinese. So they'll be in attendance. The expo, and we'll have a number of brand new cutting edge vehicles on display from Mercedes, from Volvo and Polestar, from Lucid. We're working with truck companies doing autonomous trucking like Aurora. WeRide is doing autonomous shuttle. Nuro is doing autonomous delivery bots that are the size of a very small vehicle but ride on the roads and they're able to deliver your groceries to your door. And so it's quite fascinating how these core technologies can apply to every kind of vehicle. Everything that moves ultimately will be autonomous.
Gotcha. Putting you on the spot a little bit, I'm going to give you a heads up on that. What would be, since it's such an all-encompassing conference, you mentioned all these different industries, healthcare to automotive and all in between, what would be a successful conference? What would NVIDIA like to accomplish in this four-day conference in San Jose in the next 10 days or so it starts? What would you consider a success?
Well, what we love to do is be able to help people do their life's work, help them solve challenges that could not be solved any other way without accelerated computing. And so this is really a showcase for that, to be able to introduce people to the kind of work that we do, the kind of work that our partners do. There's hundreds of companies
yes.
that rely on NVIDIA and deliver products and services to consumers. We're not a consumer brand.
No.
And for the most part. And so we are a technology provider, and people are able to access everything we do through our partners, whether it's a company like Mercedes or Volvo or companies like Amazon and Meta and Microsoft and Google, or in the healthcare space, you know, Siemens, robotics companies, manufacturing companies, architecture companies. The world is developing on NVIDIA. So we're here to help them be successful as well. And there's a huge amount of networking that goes on. So that's one aspect of success. And then outlets like yours, right? Who cover the technology and what we're doing. We're very appreciative of that because that helps us get the word out about the kinds of products and services that are enabled by artificial intelligence and advanced computing.
Yeah, I think you're right in taking it in just a little bit different area is that there are many niche publications and that are specific to exactly what you're doing, and those publications know the ins and outs and the nuances and have lots of experts. But for me, as a generalist writing for a general interest publications, for the most part, I think it's good to, in for lack of a better way, a simpleton's version of it, or a layperson's, probably a fairer way of saying it, a layperson's point of view of what's around the corner, literally and figuratively, with technology and what NVIDIA is doing, and like you mentioned, the partnerships. I try to look at some of the specific sites, and I don't quite understand it. That's the reason I'm going, is to educate myself, but to kind of present it in a general interest way.
That's
good.
I think if you look at the conference, there's over 1,000 hours of programming.
Yes.
And that's going to take you a long time. But if you watch the keynote on the 18th, it's going to be a condensed masterclass, and there'll be an opportunity to get all the news and see demos and hear about the latest breakthroughs. and accelerated computing and artificial intelligence, as well as, you know, the industrial metaverse. There's another aspect of this, which is using graphics that started as games, but to be able to model digital twins of factories, of vehicles, of towns, to be able to create worlds where you can experiment, where you can run simulation to be able to do things in a safe manner to develop new products and services ultimately.
I think you answered it before I had the opportunity to ask it, so I wanted to thank you. If you were a member of the general public and you saw some promotion of the event and you were curious, could you just go over maybe three things? You must see these four things or you must see these five things. Could you recommend, because like you said, everybody can't see everything. So what would you recommend if somebody, you know, walks in off the street and they're curious? What would you recommend they do for the day? Five things, let's say, or four things, whatever comes to mind.
So the first thing is the keynotes. That'll be held at the SAP Center.
Yes.
On the 18th, so absolutely that. If you're on NVIDIA.com, you can get the GTC app, and so you can use that to register, but also then to browse all the different topics. And so you can search by industry, you can search by topic or by company, and use that as a way to build your schedule. And then the expo that's going to be running throughout the week as well. So it's a great opportunity to see hands-on how the technology is really shaping all these different industries. So inside the expo floor, there's an automotive pavilion, there's a robotics pavilion, there's a gaming and a virtual reality pavilion, healthcare. So all these different industries will have representation. So it's just a great way to be able to focus on what's most interesting to you.
Great. Danny, that's a good place to break for our session today, our podcast. We want to, again, thank Danny Shapiro, Vice President of Automotive, and I just can't wait. I can't wait to be in attendance in San Jose, and your colleague has been very helpful in establishing the podcast and introducing me to you, and we can't wait to take in the whole show next on the 18th, 17th, and 18th, and 19th for me and a colleague. So thanks again for your time, and we really appreciate you being a guest. You've come from all over the world. You're doing a lot of good things, but thanks for the half hour on our Weekly Driver podcast, and look forward to shaking hands in 10 days or so.
My pleasure. I think that you're going to really have a great time, and everyone who is able to attend, that's going to be an amazing learning opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Cheers. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.